This Wednesday marked 18 years since the September 11th terrorist attacks. Former pro ball player Pete Murphy, a New York native and Columbia University graduate, was in the North Tower of the World Trade Center, and 9/11 changed his relationship with the city forever. Only a Game's Alex Schroeder has the story.
Pete Murphy grew up in the New York City borough of Queens. By the age of two, he was swinging a baseball bat, his father would always say. Pete played baseball and football at his high school in Flushing, and at college, just across the East River at Columbia University in Manhattan. Pete emerged as a pitcher with enough talent to make the pros, though he says he never expected to be drafted. In the spring of 1986, he took the mound for the last start of his college career, a game against Harvard.
And then when I was warming up before the game, the coach sort of came out to me and he said, Pete, you know, we really need this one. We had lost the game before, and I think we split the day before. So in order to make the playoffs, we really needed to have a win. And so nothing like the little added pressure before going out there on the mound.
Pete delivered, tossing a two-hit shutout with 11 strikeouts. A scout for the Pittsburgh Pirates was there, and he took notice. But Pete didn't know that. He graduated and started work at a law firm. The Pirates had other plans.
I got a call from my brother who said, well, the Pirates just called the house and said just they drafted you in the 23rd round. So I proceeded to walk into my boss, said, been nice working here for the 2 or 3 weeks, whatever it was, but I got to go.
The Pirates sent Pete to Florida as a member of the single-A Bradenton Marauders. After Bradenton, it was back to New York, upstate, for parts of the 1986 and 1987 seasons with the Watertown Pirates. Pete also played minor league ball in Macon, Georgia and Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, climbing the ranks to double A. Pete says he loved getting to know each of the cities along his journey through the minors. Still, those places weren't New York. What did you miss most about New York? Was it the pizza? You know, what?
Yeah. Well, that was the biggest adjustment. In the other towns, if it was 10 p.m., you were struggling to find someplace. I remember there was one time after a game. It went extra innings. We were all in the hotel. We were just south of D.C. And we were just in a hotel off of 95 down there. And there was nothing around. It's not like we could even go and walk somewhere. I ended up having to bribe the one pizza place that was open in order for them to bring pizzas to. I had to bribe the guy like $20 or something. And then the kicker of it, the pizza ended up making us all sick.
At the end of every season, Pete would drive himself back home to New York.
The best part was always coming up the Jersey Turnpike and when you can, you know, see the Twin Towers. And, you know, I knew I was home when I could start seeing the skyline of New York.
In 1991, Pete was stuck in AA with little hope of breaking through. He gave up his major league aspirations. He moved back to New York City and put his computer science degree to use. In 1995, he got a job in application development for the investment banking firm Lehman Brothers. In January 2001, the company moved some of its employees into offices in the World Trade Center's North Tower. Pete was excited to work in a building his father had helped construct.
We had the 38th, 39th, and 40th floors. I was on the kind of the eastern-facing side, so I was overlooking the plaza and looking out towards Queens, so I'd always feel like I was overlooking home when I was looking out that way.
On the morning of 9/11, Pete was at work early, preparing for meetings across the street in the company's headquarters. His boss went down from the 38th floor for a cigarette. Pete prepared to follow.
Gathered my stuff, I guess it was just about 8:40-ish, and went to get on the elevator.
Then Pete remembered he'd left something at his desk.
So I walked back to my desk. And just as I got to my desk, that's when the first plane hit.
From inside the building, Pete says it sounded like a loud bang.
The building moved so much that I actually stumbled and I had to grab onto the cubicle wall. I remember saying to myself, holy cow, this is going to be a long ride down because it literally felt like the building was going to topple over.
Pete didn't know exactly what had happened, but he knew he needed to move. He made it to the stairway, which was already filled with people.
Everybody's kind of talking about, you know, what was that? What was that? And eventually we started getting reports on the pagers that the towers was hit by a Cessna. And you know, everybody, when they saw that, they're like, there is no way that was a Cessna that hit this building.
The scene got more tense. At times, the line down the stairs stopped moving. People started yelling.
People from the upper floors started coming down, like the injured people. And all of us, we ended up making a single file and kept the leftmost lane open for the people coming down. They were, you know, injured and bloody, and you know, your imagination starts going off. Well, it must be just kind of like hell on earth up there.
People were panicked, but at this point, Pete says, no one knew the tower was on the verge of collapse. He didn't even know the other tower had been hit. Firemen arrived, climbing up, and so Pete decided to seek an alternative, less crowded route. He found an emptier stairway. By the time Pete reached the ground floor, he'd heard that this was an act of terrorism. The lobby was almost unrecognizable from the damage. Pete and the others were sent out via the mall underneath the World Trade Center.
Because they didn't want anybody walking across the plaza, because at that time the jumpers from up top had started also.
Pete eventually emerged from behind Trinity Church, several blocks away.
That was kind of the first exposure I had to really the scale of what was going on. There was blood all over the street. I stopped, took a second, and looked up at the buildings, and that's when I saw the smoke pouring out of the buildings, and just thinking, this is not good, not good at all.
Pete needed to find a way out of Manhattan, and he needed to let his family know he was okay. He found a working payphone and left a message on his home answering machine. But his wife Mary was at her parents' house, following the news on TV.
And, you know, she's hearing all the 911 calls, and they're telling people to stay in the building and not to leave. And she actually checked our answering machine at home. And as she was listening to me on the answering machine, she was watching the building come down on TV. And she was kind of set in her mind at that point that I wasn't around anymore.
Pete spent 2 hours trying unsuccessfully to get out of Manhattan. Eventually, he made his way to the Midtown Tunnel, hitched a ride, and learned from the driver that the building he was working in just hours earlier was no longer there. When Pete made it back across the East River and home to Queens, he stopped to look at the spot where the towers had stood.
I still had kind of the shadow of the Twin Towers being there, like in my eyes, they were still there. And the smoke was coming up kind of through the shadow of the Twin Towers.
What was that moment like when you finally reconnected and reunited with your family?
It was, we were kind of very numb. She was kind of adjusting to me not being around anymore. So she was kind of just pinching me a bit and just like, you know, we hugged, and our lives have not been the same since.
I asked Pete Murphy if he ever thought about what might have happened if he hadn't left baseball and ended up at Lehman Brothers. If he had made it to the major leagues, maybe he wouldn't have been in the North Tower on the morning of 9/11.
There's all those forks in the road that you come to in your life. And, you know, I think everything worked out the way it was supposed to. You know, I got to live the dream for 6 years. It didn't end up the way I had hoped, but I like to think that I'm where I'm supposed to be right now with who I'm supposed to be with. And I really wouldn't, I honestly really don't think if I had the choice that I would change it.
That story came to us from Only a Game's Alex Schroeder. We first learned about Pete Murphy in a piece by writer Steve Cook on his website about minor league baseball, The Greatest 21 Days.